from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. We have a big show for you today. It is football season. It is officially football season as we get a game week for KU and K-State. We line up our weekly guests. We all get things going this week. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, will join us to look ahead to K-State. It's when all our insiders join us. It is the first week of that. We'll have Chiefs insiders, Royals insiders. We will have KU insiders, K-State insiders. We're looking forward to it. We love this time of year. It is the best. It's almost like this is our reset week, Tommy, for the next year as we make our way through the preseason. It's over. In the NFL, it is on to game week. We have breaking news for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get to you in just a minute. All kinds of good stuff. The IHOP hotline is open for you today, as it always is. 869-1240 is that number. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's where we have Jad Chambers waiting for your calls. We have two giveaways today. We will give away a little HTO as usual, and we have concert tickets. If you're a music fan that enjoys the tastes that I do, you are going to love this concert ticket giveaway we have coming up for a show in November at Intrust Bank Arena. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show as well. We will have Royals talk from the weekend, certainly, and looking ahead to the rest of the week here. All kinds of good stuff, plus a 2-year anniversary, Tommy. Now, is this like our anniversary? Because I didn't get you anything. Or is it like an anniversary to the show and then I don't have to feel bad? I'm not going to feel bad either way. But, you know, if it's, I don't need a lecture about, you didn't even know what today was, did you? Did you even know?
Yeah, who do you think I am? I mean, I'm not going to throw that in your face. But no, my understanding is it's the 2-year anniversary of you and I doing Sports Daily together. And so, you know, that's pretty cool. I had filled in a couple times before, yeah, you know, we officially started the show together. But I believe that today is the 2-year anniversary of when, you know, you and I kicked off doing Sports Daily together as a duo.
How was that? Which is fantastic, and we're rocking and rolling. The show's growing more than ever before, and we're now seen on 12 News Connected. I hope you had a chance to watch us over the weekend as a sort of pregame show to that CBS KWCH NFL preseason game, the Broncos game. We were on there just ahead of the Catchy Awards. So thanks for tuning in. If you saw us there, there are a lot of things we're working on to grow. The video capabilities is one of those things. We'll make picks this week. We'll bring in 5 people. We'll have different screens. This is going to be a very fun year, maybe the biggest year ever for Sports Daily. So we're very excited about that. By the way, speaking of the video stream, you can watch us on 12 News Connected. If you have the app, you're watching us on your smart TV right now. Thanks. You can also watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave us your comments there. We can get to those comments over the air. A lot of fun today. Good weekend. You know, it was hot, but we got some rain. So you'll take that switch. You know, I didn't have any kids' games this weekend, which was a little bit strange, but we had some fun. You know, I played golf since the last time we talked. Last night, I made friendship bracelets with my daughters while listening to Taylor Swift. I have those on if you've got the video stream right now. Two friendship bracelets. I learned how to make a friendship bracelet. So that was fun. And I don't think they're like, I know that the bracelets are Taylor Swift's thing. I don't think they have anything to do with that. They just have a bracelet. And maybe they do. I'm very disconnected to that. But if you need one of these, Tommy, since I forgot your second anniversary gift, I can make you one.
I mean, I was just thinking that would have been a perfect tie-in, the two-year anniversary of you and I doing the show together. And it would have been great to start off a Monday with a friendship bracelet.
Yeah. Well, let me know what your favorite colors are, and we can whip you something up. Yeah. And whether you like regular or fishtail, either way, I can...
Do it in Odyssey blue and orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm rocking the Odyssey blue and orange right now. That'd be perfect.
Okay. I will do my best to remember that or task one of my kids to be on it. My son also got one, but of course his colors, he's like, ooh, yeah. So I think his bracelet was like gold, orange, brown, white, and black is just, it's awesome. Anyway. Chiefs breaking news. We'll have Wyatt Thompson coming up in our next segment. He's going to join us about 9:20. Juju Smith-Schuster's back on this roster, Tommy. We made it 4 minutes into the show without mentioning this. This definitely caught me off guard, and I'm going to tell you, my butt's puckered a little bit here from a football perspective, because that's an interesting signing. Now, it could be as innocent as he's still available and they don't like enough of what they saw out of the other guys. That's one scenario. That would be the most hopeful scenario, let's call it. And then there are a couple other scenarios I don't really like. One of them would be that Hollywood Brown's injury is not progressing the way it should be. That would be one. And the other would be that maybe something is going to happen with Rashi Rice before his court date and a suspension comes after all of this time, which wouldn't make a lot of sense. Now, not that it would not make sense for him to be suspended the first part of the year. That's what we originally thought was going to happen anyway. But that the timing of this now, why not earlier in the offseason? Whereas now it seems like they're waiting on the court date. So those second two scenarios there for the Chiefs on the field have me just a little bit concerned about what's going on there.
I mean, look, I might be doing some mental gymnastics here, but I feel like I'm kind of patting myself on the back a little bit, because I think that this lends more credibility to some of the things that I've been talking about for a while. Number one, the Chiefs aren't happy with the bottom of the depth chart when it comes to wide receiver, namely Kadarius Toney. And I know that Juju Smith-Schuster and Kadarius Toney are nowhere near the same kind of wide receiver. But at the same time, if they need additional depth, I mean, I don't see a scenario where Kadarius Toney is on the roster. You know, this may also, make some moves, open up some, you know, different moves with guys like Mecole Hardman or Sky Moore, kind of the bottom of that depth chart. And so tomorrow's cut down day, I think, is going to be extremely intriguing for the Chiefs. On top of that, you know, I was concerned as soon as Hollywood Brown went down with that injury on his very first target of the preseason that this was something that, you know, I know everybody was kind of speculating week one or maybe week two. It could be a more serious type injury where, the risk of re-injury is severe, where it might take a little bit longer. And I know everybody wanted to point at what happened with Tyreek Hill when he had a similar injury, but they're not cookie cutter. I mean, things can take a turn pretty quickly. And I don't want to suggest that that's what's happened with Hollywood Brown, but man, I'm telling you, them signing Juju Smith-Schuster, number one, tells me that they're not happy with the depth chart at wide receiver that they're going to be putting out on the field in week one. And it also does tell me, number two, that something more may be going on with Hollywood Brown.
Well, look, of course it means they're not happy with the depth chart or they wouldn't sign him. I mean, that one is there's no doubt about that. That's not speculation. If they were happy with the depth chart, they wouldn't sign him. They signed him. They're not happy with the depth chart one way or the other. I don't think it's likely an indictment on Kadarius Toney. Because they know what Toney is and whether they want to hold the roster spot for the wrinkles he can add to the offense. I don't even think it's as much about him as it would be everybody else there. because I think for them and Tony was sort of like put to the side. They never have had any intention or inclination or desire to have Kadarius Tony come in and be a regular receiver in the rotation. They were trying him in the backfield. They want him to be a gadget guy. So Juju to me wouldn't have anything to do with him. It would have more to do with, you know, let's say they keep seven receivers with that spot that you might look for Hardman, for Sky Moore, whatever. If they don't keep Tony, they're just not going to keep Tony. I don't think Juju's related to that one as much. But yeah, I would wonder, to me, it's more about Rashi Rice than it is Hollywood Brown. I mean, I don't think anybody speculated on the injury to Hollywood Brown. It happened. Here's the recovery timetable, and then let's see what happens. Now, if he's behind in his recovery, honestly, I don't even know how they'd know that yet, because his collarbone just has to heal. So if he's behind in it, I guess they could take an X-ray, and you know, these guys have all the facilities in the world. For average Joe like you and I, there's a timetable. At the end of that timetable, you go in and they check it. Maybe they're checking it along the way, I suppose. But I think it's more about Rashi Rice. If I'm going panic mode, I think the most likely scenario is they just feel like Juju could add to the depth chart. I think that's the most likely. The timing on Rice is the most concerning to me, because I don't know why all of a sudden that would change, right? Like, what has potentially changed there? It just does. If we're trying to logically look at his suspension, which we know is coming at some point, the initial reporting on that, you remember, is that this was going to, like, they were going to come down hard, they were going to come down fast, and they were going to get this over with, right? We thought that for a while, and then nothing happens. Well, then it's like, okay, the court system piece of this is taking a while. That's not supposed to start up till the end of the year. And then everybody, you know, and I'm not just saying everybody like you and me, I'm saying everybody who like studies this stuff for a living. They're saying, yeah, it's probably not going to happen for a while now, because it looks like they'll just wait for the legal piece to play out, which never made a whole lot of sense to me with an admission of guilt, why the NFL would need to do that. But I mean, it makes sense to me, that line of thinking. So I don't know what's going on. I also don't know if teams get a heads up from the league that a suspension is coming before it comes. I have no idea on that either. It's all hard. I mean, again, best case scenario, they just added to the depth chart and added Juju Smith-Schuster, who's familiar with Patrick Mahomes and gives them another usable piece. I think the most likely is that they're wondering, okay, like, we know Justin Watson can fill in right now. Hollywood Brown misses time. What if there's another injury? Then who are we turning to? Are we turning to Sky Moore or Justin Ross at that point? We know we don't want to turn to Kadarius Toney. That's not what he's going to be for this team if they end up keeping him. That's where maybe it makes sense to go get Juju Smith-Schuster. And the other question is, if everybody's healthy, does Juju just sit on the sidelines? I think he probably should if they're fully healthy.
Yeah, maybe if they're fully healthy, but you know, I think that because he's got familiarity with the offense in general, it should be, I think, a simple ask to kind of slide him back into a regular role with this team, probably as quickly as week number one. I think that he can get in there and, you know, maybe not have 100% knowledge of what the offense is doing right now, because I know that there are going to be things that schematically are probably different between then and now. But at the same time, generally speaking, he knows the offense. He knows Patrick Mahomes. And I think that you could put him in a situation where right away that learning curve isn't going to be nearly as steep. And I think that's, you know, honestly, a major reason why they brought him back. There are, and you know, before Juju, there were a couple of former Chiefs wide receivers that were still free agents. I mean, they could have went out and got Richie James if they wanted to. I mean, he still is a free agent. But I think that that was important to them, knowing that we're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the regular season, to have somebody familiar with the offense. And if you're going to narrow it down to just the guys that are familiar with the offense, the better option is for sure going to be Juju.
Yeah, I mean, he fits because he catches the ball. And I know that sounds like a joke. It's not a joke. Like, last year, that was the issue. Juju catches the ball. He doesn't do much with it. He's kind of a catch it and fall down guy, but he catches the ball. So It makes sense. Look, again, in the best case scenario, it does make a ton of sense. If you're asking me whether I'd rather have Juju Smith-Schuster or Justin Ross or Mecole Hardman or Sky Moore, at this point, I'm going to take Juju Smith-Schuster because yeah. I just trust him more. I mean, that's hopefully for the Chiefs on the field, it's that simple. If Rice gets suspended, he deserves a suspension. He's going to get it at some point. I think you just kind of shake your head at the timing there and move on with your lives. Maybe that's what it is. Look, stylistically, I think he fits Rice a little bit, right, in that role he could play. That's what kind of perks my ear up about that. I would be surprised if it's a Hollywood thing because I just don't think they would know yet. I think they would know more of that probably like next week. But they could be checking. I mean, I suppose that's what I don't know how you do that medically. I don't know how you just like keep do. Logistically, I don't know. We'll talk more about this as we make our way through. Certainly, it is a big piece of news. Music fans, stay tuned. We're going to give away those concert tickets in the second hour. Let's set up our other giveaway now because we're going to have Wyatt Thompson here joining us right after this break. If you want to win some HTO, free iced tea and free rain coffee, two new drinks out, coffee fans, if you want to try one of these, a butter pecan mocha, iced or hot, or a dirty chai apple crisp, or an apple crisp dirty chai. Hot or ice. Those are both out starting today. So if you'd like to get your hands on one of those, we'll get you a free one and a free iced tea. All you got to do right now is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everyone. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joins us for the first time in the 2024 season. That's next on Sports Daily.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
All right, and welcome back into Sports Daily. Joining us for the first time in this 2024 season is Wyatt Thompson. UT Martin looms on Saturday as we watch chaos in Ireland for week one and wonder about K-State next year across the pond in Ireland. It's not this year. This year it's UT Martin. This is a year of as much excitement, I think, as we've probably ever had. Wyatt, is that too much? But just because of the expanded playoff, and maybe, you know, considering Avery Johnson, some of the roster things that have happened, but it's more about the playoff. Do you remember a year, and if so, how many, where you walked in that first week, the first Monday of the season, and thought, boy, K-State can legitimately play for a national championship now with this expanded playoff?
I can't say that in my first 22 years here, Jacob, that I've seen anything quite like this. And I thought you said it perfectly. In that, there are a couple of two or three reasons why. One, of course, is the Avery Johnson factor. We all know his story and what he brings to the table and the, you know, impactful player that K-State hopes he will be and become. I keep reminding myself that he's eight games into a career, so he's going to continue to evolve and grow and make mistakes. But he's so far ahead of any quarterback, and I'll say that again, any quarterback, I believe, as in where he's at right now in the grand scheme of things in his career, far ahead of most. And then on top of that, you add going from 4-12. I think that's just monster. And I just think that Coach Klieman likes his team. And you look at those captains and the leaders of this team, what's not to like? They'll have some growing pains, but I think they've got a chance to be really, really good.
Wyatt, I'm so intrigued, not only about just Avery Johnson's talent, but how the Wildcats intend to utilize him this season. Because I think that part of, there are some people out there that have this misinterpretation of the kind of athlete that Avery Johnson is, where they think, oh, he's a really good runner, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's got a great arm also that I think is underrated a little bit. And so, you know, it makes me wonder how Connor Riley and, you know, that entire offensive staff plan on utilizing him this season. Do you see a more balanced attack coming from a player the stature of Avery Johnson, or do you think they'll, you know, really lean one way or the other on him?
Well, it's a great question, I think. And I don't know that I have the exact answer, but here's what I would tell you I believe I've seen in the spring ball and in the camp to this particular point. I think they have the ability to play a lot of different ways. Two tights, four wides, anything in between. I think you can expect to see Dylan Edwards and DJ Giddens play a lot together. I just think that this is a situation where when you have a young man like Avery and his ability to run and throw, you're gonna turn him loose at times. Not always necessarily in the run game, but when needed, I think you have to let him go a little bit. And then with Dylan, they've not really shied away from saying this kid's special in terms of his speed and his abilities. They're going to move him all over the field. So I think you could see a lot of different combinations. And I think the tight ends, as an example, are athletic enough that they can play in the slot. They can play wide. There are a lot of options there, guys, to like. And I just believe that's the way it sets right now. Again, they are not going to get away from who they are. And who they are is tough, physical, hard-nosed, running football first. But they're going to chuck it around because they can, right? That's the way I see it.
I think so, too. I don't know that it'll be the strength of the team, but that feels like the unknown to me. We know the strength of the team is going to be to run the ball. I don't know how you balance that. I tell people all the time, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you didn't watch Avery Johnson throw it in high school, he's the most gifted thrower I've ever seen covering high school football now for 20 years in Texas and then here in Kansas. He's got the best arm I've ever seen, most effortless arm. But I just don't know how much they'll use it because it's not the strength of this team. And stylistically, we know they would love to dominate the lines and run the ball, which brings me to my question. Are they good enough on the line to play that way? Is that going to dictate any of this? Because to me, that's that and the defense. But the offensive line seems like a great question for this team, maybe the most important one.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. That is it. I mean, you can probably question, are they good enough at receiver? I happen to think that they can be. We'll see how that plays out. But you cannot lose 3 6th-year starters in the offensive line and an All-American at left guard and not have some questions about it, right? I mean, that just makes sense. I've been telling everybody, guys, though, that this group, I think, like everything else, you know, they're going to play into who they are. And I think they have more experience than you might have the perception of. Let me give you a couple, two or three examples. You look at Carver Willis. He started the first 6 or 7 games of last year at right tackle because of injury. Easton Kilty at left tackle has started nearly 40 games at North Dakota. That's a lot of experience, even though it's not Big 12 football. The guy's a really good quality player. Taylor Portier from Bishop Miege in Kansas City has been here a long, long time. He's a good player. He probably would have been a starter had he not had 2 pretty severe knee injuries over the course of his career. And here you are, 3 guys in and getting ready to mention Hadley Panzer, who's the returning starter. To me, the key to the offensive line will be Sam Hecht at center. I really like him. I think he's smart. He's probably, if I'm being honest, more athletic than the last couple of centers that they've had. But those other guys were so cerebral. Can he, in the vicinity, match that? And if he can, I think they can be good enough in the offensive line. And I know this. I believe they will get better as the season goes on. They always seem to do that here.
Wyatt, you mentioned a few minutes ago the wide receivers, and I agree with you. I think that the wide receiver room can take a big step forward this year, and I think part of it is, you know, they'll be the beneficiary of having Avery Johnson under center. But on top of that, I mean, they did go out and, you know, be able to improve that room, with a guy like Dante Cephas coming in, the transfer. But, you know, we saw what Keegan Johnson, we saw flashes of that. I know that he was battling some injuries, but he's a high pedigree type wide receiver. So between those two guys and then, of course, you know, a couple of other returners, like they've got probably more depth, I would think, in the wide receiver room than maybe they've had in quite a while.
I love what you said, and I think it's right on task. I mean, you talk about those two guys, and then you think about the freshman year that Josh had. The guy's a good player, man.
Right.
I'm sorry, Jace Brown is who I'm talking about. Yep. I apologize for that. But then I think it even goes deeper than that. You know who's had a really good camp and I think is going to be in the mix is Sterling Lockett. He'll probably back up Jace in the slot. And then you have Trey Spivey and you have Andre Davis. Those kids, I think, are going to be impactful, too. And again, there's another one that you would mention would be, at least from my perspective, Jaden Jackson. Jaden's not lived up to anything that I think they expected out of him yet, but I hope he does this year. And they're going to be dangerous if all of those guys are what we think they could be, frankly.
Let's go to the other side of the ball on the defense. I have zero expectations for the defense because I just don't know. So I'm glad you're here to you've seen some of this. Like, are they as good as they have been? Are they better? What's their upside? I really am flying in blind with that unit until we see them play.
Well, I would say this. I think they have the potential to be better than they were a year ago. And that's a pretty big statement because this is a defense that a year ago gave up just a little over 21 points a game. And that was towards the top of the Big 12. And in this day and age of college football, that's very good defense. I think they have really a pretty good squad defensively. And I think the strengths, let's attack that a little bit. I love the secondary. I think they have two of the better corners, cover corners in the league. I just do. I think the three safeties are difference-making guys. I love Jordan Riley, the transfer from Ball State, another plug-and-play guy out of the portal for them. They always seem to have one. You know, you think about Julius Brents, Reggie Stubblefield. I think this will be the next guy. The linebacking core, I mean, you think about how Austin Romaine was shoved in there early last year when Deuce Green went down. And flanking him is going to be Desmond Purnell and Austin Moore. That's pretty good, guys, right? And then the front, I think there's probably just more football players there than you think. Now, here's the deal, though. They're going to play some guys that aren't necessarily, you know, frontline names or household names yet. But I think they're going to be as we go along, whether it's Toby Osunsami or Chidi Obiezor or Ryan Davis. This is their time, and I think they're ready. They need some experience, 100% when you say that, no doubt. But I do think they are going to prove that they belong this year. We'll see, and I think they'll, again, I keep saying this, this is a team that has lots of depth if this all plays out the way they think it can, and those guys have been really rock solid in practice. Think about it from this perspective, going through camp, that defense against that offense and the one-on-ones, pretty interesting matchups, fellas. So I think we're in for a pretty good football team here. That's the way I see it.
You know, defensively, I really think that this is a squad that can go in and have a pretty large chip on their shoulder, primarily because all of the attention this offseason has been the new Avery Johnson era and everything offensively, bringing in Dylan Edwards and, you know, all the different wrinkles that they'll have offensively. And I think defensively, those guys are probably like, hey, you know, we're here too, and we can be effective. I want to ask you about Joe Klanderman, defensive coordinator for the Wildcats. How important is it, and I know it is important, but how imperative is it to have a guy like Klanderman be in that role for so long? The continuity of the defensive coordinator. I mean, he's been on Chris Klieman's staff since Klieman came to Kansas State. And being able to know that there isn't a whole lot of turnover on the defensive side of the ball from a coaching staff perspective when offensively, you know, they've had some changes and Colin Klein has left and all of that. You know, Joe Klanderman is rock solid there coaching up the defense.
Well, you said a bunch, and I agree with all of that. I do think Joe is a very underrated guy in terms of what he has done here. You know, K-State a few years ago opened the season in Arlington, Texas, you might remember, against Stanford and went to that 3-3-5 with the idea that we're going to shock them with it, and if it works, we stay with it. If it doesn't, we go back to a four-man front. And they've been basically in that three-man front since. And they've been really good since that time, right? I mean, and consistent. I think they would like to get a little bit more quarterback pressure, and that's where I think some of those guys come in, like a Ryan Davis and a Toby Osunsami type guy. I think they feel like they're going to get some of that. We'll see how that plays out. But the nose tackle and the defensive tackle, whatever you want to say that, it is another, I think, key position for this group, because Uso Seumalo was pretty darn good last year when he was healthy. And right now, I'm not too sure he'll be the starter opening night. I think Damian Eulalio has really pushed him. And I think both of those guys, and even Asher Tomaszewski and Bates, have been good. So, again, more bodies. I think you're going to see him play a ton of guys and kind of just see where they're at, especially in these first couple of games, because you got Arizona on that Friday night on the 13th and big games coming up after that with OSU and what have you. So I think we're going to have a pretty interesting couple of weeks here to kind of feel things out.
You mentioned Toby Osunsamni. We had a viewer here on our video stream want to get your take on a guy who has lit it up here in the high school football world for a while, Cheney's Jackson Voth. So local viewer wanting to know about another local kid. Toby, out of Wichita East, is at the point, and Avery, there's a lot of local flavor on this team. What's everybody thinking about Jackson Voth early on?
Well, I would tell you this. There are two – I'm going to get my list out here, because there are two really young receivers on this football team that I know personally Chris Kleiman is crazy about. Jackson Voth is one of them.
Yeah.
The other is a kid by the name of Bryce Nornberg from Olathe South.
Okay.
Those two guys wouldn't surprise me at all if you see them right out of the gate. I don't know that we will for sure. I'll probably have a better feel for that as this week goes on. But I think just from the standpoint of what those guys are, how hard they practice, they have not been intimidated in any way, shape, or form, and look like they've belonged since day one. Both can run good routes. Both have good hands. I know Matthew Middleton is excited, and Chris Kleiman is excited about both of those guys. You're going to see Jackson Voth play here someday. I just don't know when, but he is going to play here someday.
He was a star at Cheney last year with their, all of the things that they were able, that whole family. We've had fun with them over the years, but that's a fun one. Tommy and I have wondered why at UT Martin, there have been years where K-State has maybe held stuff back in the openers, but sure. with changes on the coaching staff and Avery Johnson needing the reps, do you envision that at all against a team like UT Martin?
Well, I don't know that they would, they'll probably not show everything just because of the nature of it. But again, I think we're repetitive here to a degree, but I think we've got a lot of young guys in this program that they're ready to go. And I think you have to, pardon the expression, at some point open the gate and let the horses run. You know what I'm saying? And I think there will be some of that. I just feel like they like the depth. They're going to show it off, and they're not going to show everything opening night. That most don't, especially if you don't have to, because you've got the game at Tulane the following week and then Arizona back here. So I'd say you want to keep a few bullets in the gun. But with that said, I do think that you have to be who you are. And I think they're going to be aggressive on both sides of the ball and in special teams. I'm of a belief, too, that this team will take a tick up in special teams play just because of Dylan Edwards and Sterling Lockett and some of those guys. And those two kids that we mentioned a moment ago, I'm not sure if they'll be part of that opening night or not, but I think they could be. You know, they've gotten reps, and when you get reps here, you usually play here, and we'll see how that goes.
One more for me, Wyatt. Of course, the Big 12 looks entirely different now than it did a season ago, and you know, Kansas State, probably outside of Utah, is the next team as far as projections of winning the Big 12. We know Kansas has improved and what that will probably look like at the end of the season. Oklahoma State's right there, maybe even Arizona. There are a lot of teams, and it could potentially be a logjam at the top of the Big 12 when everything is all said and done. Knowing the landscape of the conference is entirely different than it was a year ago. It was interesting to me. I didn't realize that in the Chris Kleiman era at K-State, there hasn't been a season where he's won more than 9 games. But now when you've got Texas and OU out of the conference, even though there are a lot of really good teams, it seems like the parity is there and the opportunity presents itself really for Kansas State to win more than nine games. What's your perspective on the way that the conference is lining out as we head into the season?
Well, I really like this subject because we all have said this before. Losing the national brand that is Oklahoma and Texas is impactful. You don't necessarily replace that. And I think both of those teams will probably do okay in the SEC in year one. A lot of people believe Texas is better than Oklahoma right now. We'll see how that plays out. But as for our league, I think what I'm most interested in, and so many have written about this and talked about it, is who are those three or four teams that are going to reach out and say, there's no reason why we can't put ourselves in a position to be that next team, right? Whether it's K-State or Utah or whoever it might be. You know, KU, they're thinking they're going to be right there, and they should think that way. Arizona, same thing. Iowa State, probably the same. West Virginia, I think what you have to do is realize that the top, I'm going to say five or six teams, there's very little difference probably. That's what we think going in. Let's see how it plays. But I do think it's going to be a very interesting Big 12 for not just this year, but for a couple of years or maybe three till this thing kind of, you know, starts to sort itself out a little bit. OSU's got as many people back as anybody. K-State's got a bunch back. I think they feel like they're, you know, very capable of doing what we all think that they can be, and doing it over the course of not just this year, but the next few. There's a lot on the line when you think about it from that perspective. Don't you guys agree? I mean, I think that's sure. Really a big deal right now in our conference.
I think one of the things we've wondered is it may hurt the conference. It's going to make the regular season for the conference incredible. Yep. But it may hurt the conference when it comes to the, you know, to the selections down the road. It's kind of hard to imagine two teams making it out of this thing with fewer than three losses, which is probably what it's going to take to get in 12 teams. So that may be the downside of it, but the upside is the regular season will be incredible. Just about every game, if not every game, will be worth watching in the Big 12 this year. And Wyatt, that includes UT Martin. It is the beginning of the season. It is time for excitement. It is at home. I know everything's a sellout there in Manhattan essentially this year. But anything fun you guys have coming up on the network, which of course people will hear the game right here on KFH.
Yeah, I'm excited about getting into year 23 for me, and Stan's been here forever, and Matt, our crew's pretty much the same all the way down the line. You'll hear from Chris Kleiman, you'll hear from players, our coordinators. I'm going to try to do a little feature this week on Matt Wells, and I think from a couple of different angles, I think you guys will really enjoy Matt. He's been a head coach a couple of different times. He's coaching Avery Johnson and those other quarterbacks. He's dealing with new communication systems with the systems now in the quarterback's helmets, which is very unique for the team. So there's so much, you know, there early on. And I just think that'll be a real fun story to tell Saturday. So we also have so much going on with opening night. It's Hall of Fame weekend here. You know, we've got a couple of football players going into the Kansas State Sports Hall of Fame, which is really cool, and others too, of course, but it's going to be a big, big weekend, and can't wait.
All right, Wyatt, we'll hear the broadcast this weekend. Can't wait. You're the best. Glad we're back in the groove here. Welcome to the video broadcast here, Sports Daily, and we'll hear from you Saturday and talk to you next Monday.
You guys are awesome. Appreciate the visit. Hope we're talking about a really good performance next week. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
That's right. There goes Wyatt Thompson. I'm looking forward to that Matt Wells stuff. I know the people in Lubbock, success on the field didn't work out, but the people in Lubbock really did like him from what I've been told. That's kind of my home base. So all that's coming for you this weekend. We'll have KU previews and everything later in the week as well. Let's take a quick break. We're up against it. We'll come back. It's all Brockton Caster. Thanks to Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, for hopping on. Don't go away. Welcome Welcome back in, everybody. All that football coverage provided by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Appreciate Wyatt Thompson for stopping by the program. If you missed any of that, you can always go back and find it for free on the Odyssey app. We put this show in podcast form. You can get each day's show after it airs. It is a great way to listen to radio. We love if you're driving around and you can catch us, or if you're live streaming us at kfhradio.com or on 12 News Connected or any of those places. But if you miss the timing but still want to take in the show, maybe you're a huge Cat fan and you want to hear from Wyatt Thompson, just go to the Odyssey app, download it, search for Sports Daily, search for KFH. You can find all the great content there. Little housekeeping here as we're coming up on a short segment. We mentioned the Juju Smith-Schuster news off the top of the show. If you missed it, if you were just joining us, the Chiefs have signed Juju Smith-Schuster. We and the rest of the world are trying to figure out why they did that. I think the hope for the Chiefs on the field is it's just a depth piece. But when you've got an injury to Hollywood Brown, as Tommy put it, or when you've got a lingering suspension at some point for Rashee Rice, which is where I lean as a concern level, then I think you got to pay attention, and we'll continue to do that. I think Andy Reid should be talking today if they're in a regular rotation. It is technically a bye week if you look at the regular rotation now that the preseason is done. But we'll keep our eyes and our ears peeled for that news. We've also got the, we haven't talked Royals yet. We'll talk Royals. Royals have a big problem on their hands right now. And Tommy can give us a little update here real quick as we get ready to talk Royals. We're going to have a Royals insider the rest of the way, Tommy. Is that right?
We are, yeah. Every Tuesday for the rest of the regular season into the playoffs, as long as, you know, the Royals are still in it, we've got Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman, which is affiliated with the Fansided Network. And so if you ever go to kingsofkauffman.com, you can read a bunch of articles. They've got inside analysis, all of that, specifically on the Royals. And so Mike Gillespie is one of the editors of Kings of Kauffman. And so he'll be joining us starting tomorrow and every Tuesday at 9:30 to talk Royals with us the rest of the way.
That will be awesome. That will be fun. And I can't wait to get their take on what we're going to open the next hour with, which is, I mean, it's an unusable bullpen right now in a lot of cases. Just a brutal, brutal Saturday and Sunday for the pen, which continues a trend. When the Royals don't have the lead late in a game, yikes. We'll get to it when we return. Sports Daily, Al Brockton Caster, some Royals talk when we return. We'll get more to this big Chiefs news today as well in the second hour, and we'll get you primed up for a concert giveaway that if I was a listener, I would be all over for the band that's coming in November that we've got tickets for. Stick around. Sports Daily, coming right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here on a Monday, a big Monday. Our thanks to Wyatt Thompson for stopping by. It is the official start of Insider Season. We get you ready for everything. So many games broadcast here on KFH. We've got a playoff chase in baseball and the Chiefs getting started. So we got insiders for everything. And we're really, really excited. This is when the show gets really fun. We'll make picks on Fridays. All kinds of good stuff. I can't wait. It might, you know, it might be 100 degrees outside, but it is starting to feel a little like fall. We have one giveaway going right now, our text win for some HTO. We will give away our concert tickets later this hour. If you're a music fan of the same taste as me, you're going to love this one. So stay tuned for that opportunity. That'll be coming a little bit later. The IHOP hotline is open for you, 869-1240. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Jad Chambers is there manning that, taking your calls. You can also leave us your video comments on YouTube, on X, on Facebook. You can reach out to us directly on social. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, now or in the future. Good example of leaving your video comments. Rodney had a question about, you know, for Wyatt Thompson about the Cats. We're able to take that and then ask them that questions. It's a really cool thing that we can do. And we appreciate everybody participating in the show, however it is that you want to. We got you to the Chiefs news on Juju Smith-Schuster. Breaking news right before we go on the air. The Chiefs have signed Juju Smith-Schuster. Roster decisions are coming. We'll see what this means long term. We'll see what this means for the rest of the roster. We'll see if it has any bigger implications probably pretty soon, whether it be a Rashee Rice suspension, whether it be a Hollywood Brown injury update, or whether it just be that they liked Juju Smith-Schuster and they thought he could add to the room. We'll get that news. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you know. We'll talk more about it in our next segment. Right now, though, Tommy, let's talk about the Royals. They dropped 2-3 to Philadelphia. That doesn't concern me all that much. They are now three games behind Cleveland. And in the division, and when you play Cleveland seven times, including a doubleheader today, we watched that. Boston also lost a bunch of games over the weekend. So the Royals actually have gained ground on Boston despite losing two games to Philadelphia. So they're now 4.5 up in the wild card. They are tied with the Twins. So all things considered, losing 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia, not a ton of damage done, not too worried about it. What is worrisome, though, Tommy, and I texted you this over the weekend, Their bullpen's unusable at this point. Unusable at this point in the middle part of it. You go back and look at this weekend. Yesterday, Bubich was okay, and the Royals were still very much in it. Zerpa comes in. He's clean, but he walks three batters. Will Smith gives up 5 runs in an inning. Garrett Hampson had a clean inning. I mean, there you go. Maybe Hampson can double.
I think
over.
That might be the only reason why they keep him on the roster, to be honest with you.
And that, which is another question for another day. And then you go to the game on Saturday. Okay, Sam Long was clean. That's a really good sign, actually. Like that is a very positive sign. And they were still in the game at that point, so they go to Long. But then comes Chris Stratton with another turd. 3 runs allowed in an inning. Will Smith has given up 7 runs in his last 2 innings, and it's worse than that. He gave up 2 in that game. Zerpa gave up a run in that game. I want to go back then to the Angels game, which was their only other loss lately. They've been, you know, they've won 7 out of their last 10, but you go back to that one, and you had MacArthur come in an inning and give up 3 hits. You had Stratton give up two runs in a third of an inning. Zerpa got through that one clean, and Will Smith gave up 2 runs. So Will Smith's given up, you know, 9 runs in his last 3 innings. Stop putting him out there. There has to be replacement value somewhere for Will Smith at this point. And Stratton, Tommy, you can't, like, if you basically right now, like, if those guys go into the game, you just know the game's over, right? I mean, that's not good, right? But for a team that is very capable and has done all year long a nice job of scoring runs late and never getting out of it, right now, you're taking yourself out of these games the second you go to these arms. There have to be better options than them. And if it's not on the big league roster, it's time to call some people up, because right now they're unusable to me.
It is a domino effect, and the bullpen is bad. Don't get me wrong. They've got major, major flaws that have sort of reared its ugly head multiple times, and especially over the last few days. But the key reason that this is happening is because, at least in the last two games of the Philly series, the starting pitching didn't get them to where they feel most comfortable. And the Royals feel most comfortable when the starting pitching gives them a lead, they hold down the opponent, and then you can go to the more high leverage, more reliable relievers like Lucas Ersig in the ninth inning. starting pitching, both Brady Singer and Seth Lugo over the last 2 days didn't get the Royals to a place where they felt comfortable with the pieces in their bullpen to be able to go and shut a game down. Now, that's not, I'm not trying to absolve the bullpen of any kind of blame, because yes, everything that you just mentioned is correct. They have not been good. And there are a couple of pitchers that I would be happy if I never saw them throw another pitch for the Kansas City Royals ever again. One of them is Chris Stratton. One of them is Will Smith. They've had a couple of other guys, you know, over the last few days that have been really bad. But what the Royals have been able to do, generally speaking, to compensate for the lack in the bullpen, the lack of depth in the bullpen, and the lack of effectiveness in the bullpen, has been to have their starting pitching be really, really good. But when the starting pitching is not good, right, that's when they end up having issues. Go back to the game on Saturday. You know, Brady Singer got Chase out of the game, but it wasn't like the Royals were out of it. They were just down, I think, at like 2 or 3 runs. They cut the lead at one point down to 2. That's what the offense will do. They'll keep you into ball games. But then, of course, the relievers come in and just completely the game gets blown wide open. You know, and Will Smith gives up the runs that he did in that one inning. And, you know, all the different things that you just listed. Had Brady Singer been able to shut down the Phillies offense, it would have been a little bit of a different story. But he wasn't able to do that. So that's a key reason why we're in this spot right now. That being said, though, it's interesting. You know, the Royals win on Friday. They lose Saturday and Sunday. So they drop 2 of 3 to the Phillies at home. They enter in a crucial doubleheader today against the Guardians. It's a crucial 4-game set overall against Cleveland. But after the game yesterday, I felt an eerie sense of calm about everything. Even though the bullpen has major flaws, I wasn't in panic mode. The Phillies have a really, really good offense. Like, they're really good. They're loaded. I mean, like Bryce Harper and Castellanos and, you know, all the Bryson Stott and Alec Boehm and like all the guys that they've got offensively, they're really solid. They're one of the top offenses in Major League Baseball. And, you know, so yeah, I absolutely expected the Royals to be able to win the series. And they weren't able to do that, but it's really early on in this stretch. And I don't know. I wasn't panicked after what I saw over the weekend.
It's not panic time at all. I think singularly, though, on the bullpen, it's panic time. It's panic time because something has to be done. So if panic induces action, then yes, for the bullpen, it is absolutely panic time. Those guys cannot get outs right now. You can't use them. That's a reason for panic. They must be replaced. So in that sense, yes, things need to change. You could call that panic. You can call it whatever you want. Overall, for the team, no, because they're still in great shape and we still love the rest of the roster. The other thing, though, I think we all need to just realize right now, so starting pitching is not as good as it once was. Again, what does that mean? I think that Alec Marsh, who's going to come up today, is going to make a start. If Alec Marsh gives you a good start today, Tommy, I think for at least 2 turns through the rotation, if not for the rest of the regular season, I would like to start considering the idea of moving to a 6-man rotation. These starters need some extra rest. They are clearly gassed. They're all at innings frontiers they've never been before, and it is clearly having an effect on them. Now, they're all willing and, you know, capable of battling through at times. But if Alec Marsh is going to give you, I mean, I don't even expect quality starts, but if he's going to give you a chance to win right now, I don't have any issue with stretching everybody out just a little bit, even if it's just a couple of times through. Run a 6-man rotation for a second, give everybody a chance to sort of reload and re-energize for a playoff run, and let's see what that does. At minimum, you got to just keep Marsh up right now. And then there has to be. Like, I haven't gone and looked at Omaha and Arkansas's bullpen numbers, but there has to be somebody down there better than Will Smith and Chris Stratton are right now. There has to be. I'm willing to work with Zerpa. I'm willing to work with MacArthur. We can't do it with those other two guys. I mean, like you just like you throw your hand. If those guys come in, you know the game's over. In the sixth inning. They can't continue that way. If they're going, you know, otherwise you can only win games now where you're leading by in the sixth. Like you can't do that. And it's not, look, I'm not, this isn't like animosity toward the Royals decision making, but their hand is getting forced and they're trying to work through guys who, quite frankly, at times have been good for them this year. And that's what sucks, right? I like both of those pitchers, quite frankly. Both of those pitchers were a part of a roster that, you know, gave me my greatest sports moment, which was finally a championship for the Texas Rangers last year. They were both on that postseason roster. But they were shaky for the Rangers last year. They're worse this year right now for the Royals. They have to be replaced. The Royals have everything on the line. They got to do it. You're entering a series now with the Guardians. You could do enough damage here to solidify your spot. Those guys cannot take the field in these games unless you're just getting destroyed middle of the game. But those guys can't take the field right now. You can't. So if they're not, and if you know that, then put somebody else on there and let's see if they can catch lightning in a bottle again. Hunter Harvey, you hope, will come back. But look at what Urcig has done, Tommy. Sometimes players, especially in the bullpen, bullpens are weird, they're wacky, can step up. Lucas Urcig wasn't even the closer for the A's, right? He was like a Swiss Army knife for them. And he's come in and become this electric closer. Let's run a couple of guys out there. Rosters are about to expand and see if there's got to be somebody in the minor league system that can give them good innings late, better innings late. You know, I can, well, I mean, it's batting practice. We'll just call it that when Will Smith is out there at this point.
One thing to keep in mind too, this week is, at least it has the potential to be a pretty critical week. And I'm not even talking about what's happening on the field. The Royals and basically any team in Major League Baseball, they've got until August 31st to basically, if they want to acquire any additional players to be on their postseason roster, they've got to be on the roster by August 31st. And so there's a couple different ways you can do that. I mean, they can, you know, still, you can still make trades between, you know, basically now and then.
You have to clear waivers.
You have to clear waivers. And there are some, there are some exceptions to that. There are players that, you know, if they were signed to a minor league contract or if they haven't been on a 40-man roster at all throughout the course of the season, then they're eligible to be up for trades. So that's on the table. And then there are going to be, because this happens every year, there are going to be players that organizations will place on waivers. And a lot of those players are pending free agents and they're teams that are out of the playoff hunt. And so they're trying to clear space and that sort of thing. And there are a handful of players. Now, I don't know how high impact players they are, probably not very many, but there will be some that will be available, I would imagine, for any contender to pick up if they can, you know, put a waiver claim on them between now and then. So there are a couple of minor options that are on the table where the Royals could get, you know, potentially a reinforcement or two in the bullpen. And that would be outside of, is there anybody in Omaha or is there anybody at Northwest Arkansas that they can look at, you know, to bring up now? I do think that it wouldn't surprise me one bit if after Alec Marsh gets the start today, if the Royals keep him on the major league roster and they send somebody else down. That would not shock me because I think that Alec Marsh's value, whether or not he's starting for you, just being on your pitching staff is a clear upgrade from a couple of the bullpen arms that they currently have.
Anybody is an upgrade. Anybody. Alec Marsh certainly is. Anybody is right now. I mean, that's the point and where we are with this roster. Like, that's what I mean. Like panic time in the sense that a change must be made right now. Right now, a change must be made. I'm just going to go look at the whips right now in Omaha. I don't think you want Daniel Lynch at this point. Is he even healthy at this point? I'm not sure. But it is a very difficult proposition to consider, Tommy. Even, I mean, what do you think is going to happen if you run out Will Smith or Chris Stratton at this point?
Well, like,
what do you think the outcome is?
I mean, you know what's going to happen. They're going to give up runs. Like, it's not even a question about, you know, can they be effective? It's, you know, I think the question becomes how many runs will they give up in their outings? It's not good. And the thing about Smith is that Smith has had a couple of flashes of vintage Will Smith, but by and large, he hasn't. And especially as of late, he hasn't. Chris Stratton has just been consistently bad. I can't think of the last time that Stratton was effective coming out of the bullpen. I don't know. I'd have to go back in memory and try to think about when was the last time Chris Stratton pitched a clean inning. It's been forever.
System, and I'm so glad we have an insider coming up this week, because I see a guy named Evan Sisk down there, Tommy, who is pitching right now. Like, he is pitching effectively now. He hasn't given up a run. He's given up one run in his last like nine appearances. The guys aren't hitting him at all. Like, why isn't that guy up right now? Like, where is Evan Sisk right now? You know what I mean? And that's what, like, we got to right now, and he's got a 169 ERA and a 106 whip. Can we get him up here? Can we bring him up? I don't know what he does for the Storm Chasers. I don't know if he's their closer. I don't know what he does, but can we get him up? Can he come up? Like, where are these players? And we'll talk to the Kings of Kauffman crew tomorrow about this. But it is an absolute concern for the team right now. You can't. And again, I hate this for those pitchers. I really do, because they have stabilized and helped this team get to the point they're at. But why would you let them work out their demons right now at the big league level? Tell them to go to Omaha. Pitch them every day, right? Like, now it's about, and no offense to Omaha, but who cares, right? Send these guys down and give them a directive. I want them pitching 3 days a week until they get it figured out. Maybe we can call them back up, but I don't want them working it out at the big league level.
Right. Well, and don't forget though, as I mentioned, your playoff, your postseason roster, you need to have players on, I believe it's the 40-man roster, which I know a lot of these guys would be,
they'll still be on the,
you know, 40. by the end of this month. You mentioned both Evan Sisk and, I think you mentioned Stephen Cruz. Both of those guys were acquired, by the Royals in the trade that when they sent Michael A. Taylor to the Twins. And both Cruz and Sisk are in a position where they're, you know, kind of knocking on the doorstep of potentially being in the Royals bullpen. So at this point, what do you have to lose? I really don't think you've
got... Stephen Cruz, breaking news, Stephen Cruz is in Cleveland as a part of the taxi squad because of the doubleheader.
Yeah. And so, like, they've both been, both Cruz and Sisk have been working in the bullpen in Omaha this year. At least Cruz is with the major league team right now. But I think it just comes back down to that question of, like, what do they have to lose? At this point, what do they have to lose from a bullpen?
Games.
But making moves in the bullpen. Like, yeah, it's not going to get any worse. So you might as well just make these changes now in hopes that it does get better.
I don't know who the Royals, and we should, who the Royals have on their 40 man. If they have any candidates that wouldn't, that wouldn't affect it. And look, we'll go to this tomorrow, but there are guys they could remove probably from the 40 man. Jonathan Bolin, Stephen Cruz is already on the 40 man, just for, as a note. So that's helpful. Yeah, so I'd have to go look at the numbers for the guys already on there. Anthony Veneziano is on there. Carlos Hernandez is on there. They'd probably need to get him back up. And then Jonathan Bolin is on there. So there's a couple guys on the IL, so I don't know how that affects it. But there are names, even if you just bring up those guys who are already on the 40 that aren't going to affect anything. But I think you got it. Like, Sisk isn't on there now. It's probably time to get him on there, and somebody's going to have to get removed. And I mean, okay.
I do want to, before we put a bow on this segment, I do want to give more of a bird's eye look and just a 30,000-foot view of, you know, going back to me saying that I wasn't panicked after the Royals dropped 2-3 to the Phillies. And I think this is really important context, because it's very simple and very easy, I think, after what we saw on Saturday and Sunday, to go into sky is falling mode, you know, Chicken Little and everything is, you know, our pets' heads are falling off and, you know, all of that. But keep in mind, Cleveland and Minnesota, just like the Royals, have a losing record against teams over 500. Okay, so all three teams in the division do. In fact, the Royals have a better record against teams over 500 than both Cleveland and Minnesota currently do. I think it's Minnesota that they're like 10 games under 500 against teams that are above 500. The Royals, as we all know, are in a pretty difficult stretch right now of games. This stretch against Cleveland, of course, is crucial, and it starts today with the doubleheader. I mean, they're three games back from the Guardians right now. If you get swept by Cleveland today, then, you know, all of a sudden, it's a much larger deficit.
Sure.
But I'm not in panic mode right this second because I know that these other teams that they're chasing in the division also have losing records against really good baseball teams.
And let me clarify, too. The panic for me, it's not panic for the team. I'm not panicked about the Royals at all. Like, not even close, so far away from that. Couldn't be further away from that. But I do think when we talk about the bullpen singularly, there has to be panic because something has to be done. So, you know, define it however you want, but they cannot keep running those guys out there. They'll still have plenty of leads going into the sixth and seventh inning and be able to use the good part of their bullpen. At least now, through the trade deadline, they have a good part of the bullpen. There was a part of the season where we didn't feel good about any of the bullpen. We feel good now about three guys. Basically, for me, it's Bubich, and it's Long, and it's Urcig. Hopefully, it's Harvey, and maybe MacArthur can at least get somewhat back to form, although he's not there yet. I just don't understand the point of continuing to run Smith and Stratton out there. Zerpa has certainly not given you confidence lately. It's time to try and solidify that because you won't use those guys in the postseason. You don't think, who knows? Again, lightning in a bottle in a bullpen is pretty commonplace. So maybe one of those guys starts to light it up. You're probably not using those guys in the postseason anyway, right? But you got to get to the postseason still. Like you still have to get there. And the Royals have an opportunity. It's seven games against Cleveland. I don't want to see Will Smith and Stratton pitching against Cleveland. You got seven opportunities here to make some noise. And giving your offense a chance to bring you back in a game is something that has been a major strength of this team. But when your bullpen comes in and routinely gives up five runs, like you're taking that weapon that has been such a weapon for this team out of the holster. So Royals doubleheader today. Don't want to see those guys pitch right now at the big league level. 12 o'clock coverage begins for the first game, and it's a split. It's not like a back-to-back. So you get a 12 o'clock and you get a 6 o'clock for the Royals today. Really looking forward to it. It is against a series against Cleveland. Again, it's only a problem if they're trailing. You hope that the starting pitching gets on track here. Cole Reagan's not great his last time out. He actually was the losing pitcher of that Angels game we mentioned. But it'll go Reagan's. We believe in the first. It'll go Marsh. We believe in the second. For today. So let's see if they can get it done. How about it? I'm excited. I'm ready for this. I love day baseball on a weekday, especially. So I'm excited about this series against Cleveland. What do you think real quick? Well, actually, let's hold that. We'll come back. We'll predict the series and what we'd like to see there. Probably the cop-out answer is the correct answer, but we'll see. 869-1240 is the number on the IHOP hotline. Stay tuned for details on a big concert giveaway. We'll have it all for you as we roll forward on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Casper here, taking you through this Monday, big news coming in. So real quick, Tommy, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Chiefs. This series against Cleveland, four games on the road, I'd say, you know, split is the floor, probably. Split would be what needs to happen. And, of course, you'd love to see more, especially with Cleveland somewhat struggling lately. You'd love to see three of four. But it's on the road, and I think we need to be realistic to two things. The Royals haven't been quite as good on the road, and they certainly haven't been good against good teams. So I think, realistically, we're probably looking for a split here and then take two or three in the home series later on.
Yeah, I like the idea of a split on the road, and you know, especially with the doubleheader today. I think you can't let today get away from you. You can't drop both of the games in the doubleheader, because that happens. Then again, the Royals are back in that position that they were in for a while, a few weeks ago, where it seemed like every series their backs were up against the wall, and they had like must win games to salvage series. And so I don't think that that's a spot that the Royals want to be in for sure starting today. So it starts with that doubleheader. It's big. They've got to at least split today, and then that gives you a little bit more life going into the remainder of the series.
The challenge in a four-game series, too, we talk about this sometimes when you're playing head-to-head against somebody you're chasing, the outcomes skip a game. So you can either gain in a normal series three games, one game, or lose three games, right? In a four-game, it's a little bit different. It can go catastrophic. You can go four games, right? You can split or two games. So that, you know, there are a lot of like the impact of the series could be massive. Even if you just lose the series and, you know, and they take three, you're going to lose two games on them. So there's a little bit of urgency to get it split. Let's talk about the Chiefs. Austin asked this, and it's a good question to get us right back into it. Is it pretty much a foregone conclusion that Tony is gone with the signing of Juju? We touched on this part of it. I think the two things, and if you missed it, the Chiefs signed Juju Smith-Schuster, which can be exciting news, right? We just don't know if it's exciting news, right? It can be exciting news if they were just like, you know what, let's just reunite with Juju Smith-Schuster and it's unrelated to anything else. That would be exciting, right? But it's probably related to something. Now, there, I think we've got three scenarios. It either is an indictment on the bottom end of what they foresee as a depth chart, which could include Kadarius Toney. I don't think it will. I think it's more the other guys. I think their decision on Toney is all about Toney. They either want him as a gadget player and his upside, or they don't. I don't think Juju would be taking his spot in a roster that they're constructing. I think it would either be Sky Moore or Justin Ross or Mecole Hardman. I think the Toney decision is probably separate. That's just my thought on it. And then I think you look at the two worst case scenarios, which would be an injury to Hollywood Brown is worse than we think, or Rashee Rice could be getting suspended soon. I think those are the more doomsday scenarios. I think a best case scenario is they just like Juju and, you know, they don't feel confident in the others and they just wanted to add depth. I would say there's better than 50% chance that that's the case still, but we got to pay attention to the other ones.
I think it can be all of the above. I think that that's probably a large part of it, especially with the way that the bottom of the depth chart is shaking out. And look, I think both things can be true. I think that they can decide that Kadarius Toney is not going to be a member of this roster. And part of the reason that they got Juju Smith-Schuster was to bolster the wide receiver room. But then I also think that at the same time, there can be other players at the bottom of that depth chart that they are not enthralled with, at least by bringing them, you know, onto the active roster to start the season. I think that list probably includes Sky Moore. I think it probably includes Justin Ross. It might even include Mecole Hardman. And so I think that those are all names that, are probably right on the bubble. And once we get into what tomorrow looks like, if I were any one of those guys going into today before the Juju signing, I would have thought, all right, my chances are decent to make this roster. And now with Juju, I think everything is kind of thrown up in the air. Like, okay, maybe it's not a foregone conclusion that I end up on this roster. So I do think that, you know, regardless of a Hollywood Brown injury and what the longevity of the recovery looks like, I do think that the Chiefs ultimately probably assessed the way that a lot of these receivers performed in the preseason and thought, at the very least, we need to bring in some reinforcements and bolster this room. And look, here's the other thing, too. The last time Juju Smith-Schuster was in the wide receiver room, remember, they put a lot of expectations on him. He had a prominent role in the offense. He doesn't necessarily have to have that and still be valuable to the Chiefs this year. Let's say that the Hollywood Brown injury is not something that extends long term. Let's say that Rashee Rice doesn't have any sort of legal implications for this season. Juju Smith-Schuster can still be a valuable part of this offense. Sure. In a backup role, in a reserve role, fewer snaps than he had a couple of years ago when he was on the roster. It's an upgrade from the bottom part of that depth chart. There's no doubt about that.
There's no question. I would be surprised to help again answer Austin's question about Tony. I would be surprised if the wide receiver room includes Juju and also includes all of Hardman, Ross, and Sky Moore and not Tony, if that makes any sense. I would think it's far more likely that it includes Juju and not one of those guys. And then Tony becomes a totally separate decision. What concerns me about the signing, and it's not that I like Juju Smith-Schuster. What concerns me about the signing, Tommy, they could have signed Juju Smith-Schuster at any point, right? Yeah. That's the part where it's like something has happened to make them do this.
But don't you think it could be something as simple?
They could have signed him a long time ago.
Yeah, but don't you think it could be something as simple as, all right, we're through the preseason now and we don't like really what we've seen?
It could be. I hope it is. Yes, it absolutely could be. And again, I think it's probably a better than 50% chance that it is. But it's not much over 50%. I think they could have done that a long time ago. Why would you not want more time to work him in? You know what I mean? Like, if you were thinking about that, you do that before the final preseason game. And maybe it's just like you talk to Juju and he's like, man, I don't want to come to training camp. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it would have made more sense if that was the outcome to do that a little bit earlier than now. So that's what has me wondering why. Right, is the timing. It's not that they're bringing Juju in, but they could have brought him in 2-3 weeks ago. They knew. They know that Juju Smith-Schuster's an upgrade over whatever, if they still view him that way, but they didn't even have a chance to see him work. Right? That's what feels just a little bit like desperation's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Reactionary. We'll call it that. That's what makes it feel a little bit reactionary today is just the timing of it, right? It's just why now and not earlier, unless something has changed. Rick says, just grind, trust Andy. I mean, everybody trusts Andy Reid. It has nothing to do with that, Rick. It's just why now, right? If it's as simple as Juju just makes the team better, heck yeah.
That's best case scenario.
I mean, that really is.
That's best that's case scenario.
Great. That's because fantastic news.
Think about it this way. You've got, let's say that Hollywood Brown is able to return week one. Let's say best case scenario. I think that's unlikely at this point, but let's say that he does. Then you've got a wide receiver room of Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, and then Juju Smith-Schuster backing them up. I mean, that becomes, again, a really good, like even better wide receiver room than what they had before. And, you know, as we mentioned, it doesn't necessarily have to be in relation. And I know you say reactionary, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in relation to something involving the top of the depth chart. It doesn't have to be related to the Brown injury or the Rice legal issues. It could just be reactionary based off of the assessment that the Chiefs made with the bottom part of that depth chart during the preseason and training camp.
I'm going to give you one more reason that this could be fine and nothing to worry about. They got Creed Humphrey signed to a long-term deal. That happened Thursday night. We talked about it briefly Friday morning. There is absolutely also a chance that they just had more money than they thought. Let me walk you through that. They targeted and we didn't know this, at least I didn't, that Creed Humphrey was a goal to get done now and not next offseason. So they know that. They know their budget. They know the cap. They know all these things. They get to the finish line with Creed Humphrey just in time. Now, after you get to that finish line, you basically have a working budget and you're like, you know what? We still got a little room left in the budget. Let's call Juju. We've had the conversations. We know what he wanted to come in. Hey, Juju, we do have the money. Let's get you in here. I think that is very much a possibility as far as timing, that it is more indicative of that Creed Humphrey deal. And again, that would lean and lend itself to a best case scenario. If that's the case, they didn't want to sign Juju and compromise their Creed Humphrey deal against the cap. Okay, now we can make it work. He's clearly going to be an upgrade. Let's get him in here. Again, better than 50% chance that that's the case. But the timing does, I think, need to perk our ears to some other possibilities. And that's all we're doing now. Why now? if you're the Chiefs. But either way, I mean, I think you're glad Juju's in the room now. I mean, he's going to help the room, even if he's physically not able to give you what he gave you 2 years ago. He's still going to help the room.
No doubt about that. He will be an upgrade. He clearly is. And I like a Juju Smith-Schuster role in this offense where it's not resting on his shoulders like it was a couple of years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And being able to be a complimentary piece with that offense and the familiarity and trust that he has with Patrick Mahomes, I'm all in. I think it's a really, really good signing overall. It bolsters their receiving core. But yeah, I think that there does need to be some clarity as far as what happens to the other pieces and what this is in relation to. We'll have some more clarity on this once we get through cut down day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Once we know who's actually on the final roster, then I think we can draw some more conclusions.
I mean, look, let me ask you this way. At Travis Kelce not included, what wide receiver on 3rd and 6 right now on the roster would you trust to get you a first down more than Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yeah.
Considering all the unknowns we have.
Before the signing, it was probably Travis Kelce, and then after that, I mean Justin Watson maybe.
I mean you know? you hope that it's Hollywood Brown, right?
For sure.
Hope that Xavier Worthy does that. Rashee Rice had a bunch of drops. He became that, but the point is that is Juju's that's about probably all he's going to give you anymore.
Yeah.
But it's something that helps this team. So we'll keep our eye on it. Chiefs fans, don't worry. We'll get a lot of news on that this week. It's going to be a busy week because that is a high-profile thing that's happening with rosters across the NFL is this Chiefs wide receiver room decision. All right, let's take a quick break. 869-1240. Tommy will step out the rest of the way. I'll have you. We're going to get to that big concert giveaway we've been teasing. Jad and I'll have the details on that when we return and a little bit more from around the sports world. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on KFH, and we'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Tommy stepped out the rest of the way, no problem, because we've got an exciting giveaway to tell you about right now. First things first is a portion of the program is brought to you by Crestview Country Club. I played Friday a full 18 out at Crestview, played the North Course for the first time since Memorial Day. Most of the time when I get out, it's just when I have time so I can get 9 in. It's one thing I love about Crestview, by the way. Is that I can just do that, pop out there, play as many holes as I can get in, and then pop off and not feel bad about it. But I played 18, kept it under 100, baby, which was my goal. It's not a lofty goal by any means. The funny thing is when I go out, it's usually with my kids and we'll play like the front nine. So I hadn't played the back nine of the North Course in a long time, and it's a nice course, I'll say that. So we appreciate Crestview. Still plenty of good weather to get out there and golf. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. All right, Jad, let's do this giveaway. First and foremost, Cody Jinks is coming to Intrust Bank Arena on November 23rd. Now, Cody Jinks in my lane of music right now at this portion of my life, very much a part of it. Hippies and Cowboys is my favorite song of his. It's one of my favorite songs of the last, I don't know, several years because it reminds me of home. My very favorite bar I used to joke was a great mix of a bunch of cowboys and a bunch of hippies. Nobody cares. Everybody's having a good time. And then this song comes out. And then since he's got a lot of hits now, he's great. Jad, do you know who Cody Jinks is?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not really.
So I will say this, though.
I've looked up some stuff since I've seen this. I've looked up some things. I'd be willing to give it a shot because I don't like a lot of country.
It's not country. That's the thing.
Technically, like the more old school country style and outlaw country, that doesn't bother me. I'm okay with that.
He is outlaw country. He's like big beard, Metallica shirt wearing, doesn't give a rip about he'll get classified as country, but outlaw country would be a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, Americana is kind of how I like, you know, songwriting, all that. So he's coming. People that are in that lane will love this. So Cody Jinks is coming on November 23rd. And what else you'll love is we've got your opportunity to win some tickets. Now, we'll have lots of opportunities to win. It's not like a daily winner, but we do have multiple sets. But you can enter this contest daily. Here's what you got to do. Interest Bank Arena, November 23rd. All you got to do is text the keyword Cody, C-O-D-Y. Cody to short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once a day. Again, that's Cody to 20357. I've got to get tickets to this. I got to go. He's one of those guys where I always say, oh man, I wish I could see Cody Jinks. I was stunned to see him playing at Intrust, which is really cool for him. I'm glad that Intrust is bringing some of those bands in. So many great music venues here, but that'll be a fun one. Cody to 20357. That opportunity is open right now, and we'll go through that, I think, every day for a while here on Sports Daily. So we're looking forward to that one just a little bit. Again, if you missed the news of the day, it is that the Chiefs have signed Juju Smith-Schuster, something I don't think anybody saw coming until this morning. The implications of it, that's what we're trying to figure out. We'll hear, I think, from Andy Reid today. The schedule should get to normal working NFL now that we're through the preseason. It would be a bye week for every team, and it's a Thursday game, so it may be a little bit off, but I'm hoping we get some insight from the Chiefs on this today, and we'll look for that for you. And if we do, we'll maybe grab some of that audio for you for tomorrow as well, but we'll keep our eye out on that. But that is the news of the day.
Jacob, realistically, yes, do you think that Andy Reid is going to be telling us exactly what he's planning on doing with this pickup?
No, he definitely won't, but we can take the tone of it, right? I think the one scenario where we might get insight is if something was wrong with Hollywood Brown. That would be the one area where he could say, yeah, we're just trying to play it safe. You know, Hollywood Brown's out for a while. I think that's about the only thing you could try to read between the lines on. He's not going to come out and tell us, yeah, we think Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. That will just happen, right?
Yeah.
He won't tell us that. But he could also help us understand if it's the best case scenario and it's just like about the roster and the roster cuts coming, that's where he might be able to give you a little insight. We love what he brings to the table, blah, blah, blah. That would, you know, if there's no mention of the other scenarios, you'd feel a little better that it's innocent and they just wanted to add him to the team. And maybe it does. And maybe you get a little insight too. Once we got Creed Humphrey done, we knew we could get this done. So it was an easy call for us. We wanted him to be on the team. I think there's some insight that could come from Reid, but no, Andy Reid never says anything like that directly.
Right.
But that's on the reporters there, and there are some great ones on the beat to inquire about the other scenarios, and then we can just sort of gauge his tone and reaction. You know, how much does that anger him, or is he just dismissive and flipping about? Who knows? Yeah. But we'll see if we get that today. But we'll keep an eye out. And if we do, Jeb, we'll try and get that for people tomorrow so they can jump to their own conclusions. All right, we're going to come back. We'll do a little housekeeping. We'll get you primed up for the Royals, a doubleheader today. You'll hear them both here on KFH and for free on the Odyssey app. Don't go away. Sports Daily wraps it up right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, Let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.